You know, we have a passage in the Bible for women. Proverbs 31, right? Most women all know that. Well, the passage we're going to be studying today is probably the equivalent for men. And that is Job chapter 29. So many of the verses we'll be looking at will be from Job 29. As we look at Job as a father, this is Father's Day, and we wanted to bring a message about fathers and about men. You know, O.J. Simpson's been in the limelight again recently, right? Well, let's go back in time to when all that started. We'll go before it. Everybody probably looked up to O.J. But then all of that went down, didn't it? And one writer says, he recorded it as the fall of an American hero. Well, we have something wrong, folks. Football players are not necessarily heroes. Just because you can knock somebody around on the football field, that doesn't make you a hero, does it? Or maybe the basketball goal shooting, or maybe whatever. Those kind of things are not heroes. We got it mixed up in our society today. That's not a hero. Well, we want to look at a real father, a real hero today, as God presents him. Job 29, we'll start with verses 1 through 6. And Job again took up his parable and said, "Oh, that I were as in the months of old, as in the days when God watched over me, when his lamp shined upon my head, and by his light I walked through darkness, and as I was in the ripeness of my days, when the friendship of God was upon my tent, when the Almighty was yet with me, and my children were about me, when my steps were washed with butter, and the rock poured me out streams of oil." Now, in more modern times, we have kind of kicked out fats, right? So this idea about butter and oil kind of hit a lot of people wrong. But they're kind of going back to that. But regardless, what is Job saying as we look at this? Job is saying that he learned from his past experience. And that can be an important thing. Not as one who looks back on the good old days and doesn't want to live with the situations today or face the situations today. That's not the idea. But Job looked back upon his past as because of the fact that it taught him about the truths of God and what it was like to be godly and what it was like to have God in your life. It helped him to put current events, the things that were happening, in a better perspective. Now, as you read the book of Job, Job obviously had, during much of that book, had a wrong perspective, didn't he? And we'll talk about that. But when great pain comes upon people, it's hard to keep the right perspective, isn't it? When you're in great sorrow and great trouble, so we can kind of understand how he dealt in much of the book about some of those things. But Job remembered how God had dealt with him in the past, and Job was able to endure. Though he may have had some wrong ideas as he went through those struggles, Job was able to endure. And what a contrast that is to many American men today. You know, we kind of have a kind of suffering in America in a sense. And because through that, we're not like Job many times. Many people don't want to look upon the past to learn. They've almost snubbed their nose at the past. Whether you're talking about the past of some of the great American history or going all the way back to Abraham and Job. Many people do not want to look upon the past, do not want to learn from the past. We tend to think that our time is better, right? Well, we do have better in the sense of technologies. But what about character? We've had presidents even that we thought they would look good. We thought they had some virtue, but then we learned differently, right? we learned they were at the bottom of the gutter sometimes. Something very wrong. But Job, again, looked upon his past as a way of remembering what God had done. And this enabled him to go through that struggle and to stay truthful to God. Some people, when they go through struggle, at some point, they give up on God, don't they? Job didn't. I mean, somebody steals all your cattle. Somebody kills all 10 of your children. On and on the list went. Would you stay true to God, or would you blame God? That's what a lot of people do when trouble comes, right? It's God's fault. But Job was able to stick to his faith through it all. And eventually he had 10 more children that would have fit into the same category as what he had done with his original family, which we will be talking about. You know, in our society, we'll go back a little bit into marriages used to work, right? Families used to be a place where people gained strength, but so often today we see selfishness. We see men and women that want to spend time their own selfish ways, and children are considered what? In the way of that freedom and the money they would have if they didn't have to take care of those children. All kinds of thoughts, right? That all center on selfishness. Job was not like that. And he didn't think that the past was outdated and unuseful. He didn't have that kind of an idea about it. Our isolation from history has hurt us, because people, they don't know about Job. They many times don't know about even American history and American great men. And thus our men do not have the right kind of examples in their minds, do they? Even the church is encouraged to maintain a connection to the past. What did Paul say in 2 Thessalonians 2:15? Now, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you received or which you were taught. Hang on to those traditions. Not meaning that we necessarily hang on to things that people did in the past, but biblically speaking, we hang on to those commands that God issued, that Jesus issued, that the apostles issued. Number one, Job was close to his children. In Job 29:5, he says, my children were around me. He was close to his children. He had seven sons. That's kind of a big family, right? And three daughters. I come from a family of seven. So I know my mother came from a family of 13. So I know something of large families. And family gatherings got eventually so big they couldn't be in a house. Well, you probably know something of that too. Well, Job had a large family, but it didn't keep him from being close to his children, a father to his children. In the midst of suffering, you know, when Job got so bad that he sat in a graveyard or a dump yard with a piece of rock or glass scraping the pus, right, off of his body. When he couldn't have his children in his arms anymore, Job had a hard time, harder than we can probably hardly imagine. But before that, he had been close to his children before he was in that situation. And again, what a contrast many times when fathers have no real connection with their children nowadays or abandon their children. Very different, right? Children seem to interfere with many fathers' pleasures, so they abandon them, or they don't take care of them, or they have no personal involvement with them. Many people grow up abandoned by fathers, sometimes by mothers. But this is Father's Day, and so we have this situation in our society, and it has increased child abuse in numerous ways, right? And children being abused in all kinds of ways that sometimes are even atrocious in the greatest degree. Why? Because fathers are not there many times. Job was a real hero, though. He wasn't a fake hero or a plastic hero. He wasn't a hero on the football field. That was not the picture. He was a hero because he was the kind of man he ought to be, the kind of father he ought to be. And in Job chapter 1, verse 5, it says, early in the morning, an offering up burnt offerings for each of them, that is his children, Job thought, it may be that my sons have sinned and renounced God in their hearts. So Job did this continually. This had followed a time of feasting. Of course, in time of feasting, people sometimes maybe drink too much or whatever, right? Job is afraid, maybe my sons have forsaken God in their hearts. Now, we know that, and we don't have sacrifices like Job had. We don't have to go offer a lamb, do we? Or a goat, or whatever. But we do have sacrifices, don't we? We have a sacrifice of a broken and contrite heart. We have a sacrifice of prayer to God. We have similar things. And we can do similar things. Well, Job did what was required in his time as much as he could to try to protect his children. Now, that's a father, isn't it? That's what fathers should do and what normally fathers have done through time. Now, in verses 7 through 11, we see that Job was a respected community leader. When I went forth to the gate, he said, when I prepared my seat in the street, the young men saw me and hid themselves, and the aged men arose and stood. The princes refrained from talking and laid their hand on their mouth. The voice of the nobles were not found or hushed, and their tongue cleaved to the roof of their mouth. And when the ear heard me, the ear blessed me. And when the eye saw me, the eye gave witness to me. Now, the gate of the city is something a little odd to us. We don't have walls around the city, do we? Well, in ancient times, virtually all cities had walls around them. And the aged men, and over time, this would be the wiser men, not necessarily an older man. But the aged men who fit into that category gathered at the entrance of the city. And when people came from their country farms into town and they needed a problem solved, they went to these elders. In effect, they were the judges. And Job said, when I came up, the young men got out of the way. The old man stood up and shook his hand, or whatever we would say, right? And it even appears from the way it's worded that when Job said things, they didn't necessarily always agree, but they respected him. By the way he said it, by the way he taught it, and by the wisdom behind it, and other similar concepts. I'm not suggesting that Christians compromise when I say the way we say things. We have to teach the truth, don't we? But Christians have been, in the eyes of the world sometimes, looked upon as those who are critical and harsh. We should not be that way. We should be wise and harmless, as Jesus said and as other apostles says. We need to be involved in our communities in numerous ways. All of us, parents, fathers, and others. We need to be involved in our communities. And those who won't speak up, well, those are wimps, right? Those are not really examples of godly men. And yet godly men should speak up in a way that's kind and in a way that gets their point across without being harsh. And yet they are seen to do that with firmness, conviction. Now, we have another problem with reference to this, and that is, so many people in our world, at least a quarter of them, move it within every 3 years. Every 3 years, even preachers fit into this category, a lot of them, right? How can you become involved in a community and respected in a community, any of us, if we're gone in 2 or 3 years? Pretty hard to do, isn't it? So we need to be involved. Today's real hero is involved in his or her community. But again, we will speak mainly to the men. Job was also a father to the fatherless. This is one of his great characteristics as a man. In Job 29, 12 and 13, Job says, "Because I delivered the poor that cried, and the fatherless also, that had none to help him. The blessing of him that was ready to perish came upon me, and I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy." So Job was concerned about children who didn't have a father, about children who were poor. And I know probably most of us fit into that category. Maybe we didn't always, but Job was that kind of man. He was the kind of man to respect, wasn't he? He was the kind of father to respect. He was concerned about doing good work. And, you know, there are a lot of things in our world that are concerned about children, organizations like Big Brothers, and many of these organizations do good works, at least to some degree. But I suggest to you, what boys and girls need is not a big brother, but a father. A big brother helps, but they need fathers. They need fathers who are examples, fathers that are the kind of fathers that God taught us to be. And Job is an example of that in all ways that we want to look at. A child's first impression of God is usually based upon their own father. And if the father is not what he ought to be, what do you think they think of God? Sad condition in our world, right? Because of this situation. You know, a father is not abusive, not generally speaking. A father doesn't selfishly exploit his children. But in our society, many times this is what happens because fathers are not there, or maybe it's a stepfather. He doesn't care about those children. These kinds of things. The world doesn't need any more men who use their children or abuse their children, does it? No. Look at Job. He's an example. In fact, what did God say of him? God said, "Look at Job. There is nobody like him on the earth." Now, don't we sometimes talk about that? We have a good friend. Maybe we're talking about football and he's a great football player. "I want you to meet someone. He's a great football player." Well, we kind of talk like that sometimes. Well, God said, "I want you to look at Job. He's the greatest man I have on earth." Now, as a sidelight, there is ancient history to suggest, it may not be true, but it's certainly there going back hundreds of years before Christ, that Job is in your Bible actually as Jobab, grandson, I believe it is, of Abraham. I don't know if that's true. But anyway, Job had learned somewhere about God, hadn't he? Was he before Abraham? There was a Job before God, Abraham. There's a Job in ancient history outside the Bible. It doesn't appear to be the Job we're talking about here. But even so, Job was a great man. Now, Job pursued righteousness. In Job 29, 14 through 17, it says, "I put on righteousness and it clothed me. My justice was as a robe and a diadem," or a turban, I think one translation says. "I was eyes to the blind. I was feet to the lame. I was a father to the needy. And the cause of him who knew that I knew not, I searched out. And I broke the jaws of the unrighteous and plucked the prey out of his mouth." Now, I don't think that Job was speaking literally in that last example, because he says, "I plucked the prey out of his mouth." He's using an animal example. If an animal grabbed your child and you went over and killed that animal and got your child out of its grip, that's kind of the picture that Job is portraying. An animal has taken prey, an animal being a human who is taking advantage of somebody. Maybe it's an orphan, maybe it's a widow, maybe it's a child that's poor. Job says, "I broke his jaw, I took the prey out of his mouth." In other words, Job was a man that if you needed help, you could depend on. that's the kind of man that we need always in the world today. But in our world today, people fantasize about all kinds of evil things. Sex is glamorized all the time, isn't it? And people absorb these things continually on the internet, in books, more probably on the internet nowadays. And many then become involved in these things in their own lives. Then Job upheld justice. This is also tied into this verse. He speaks of his justice like a turban and a robe. He always wanted to know the truth behind what was going on. He said, if I didn't, I wouldn't have found out. I searched it out. In other words, I took the trouble out of my time to find out. And then I took care of it. Part of the incredible power that draws millions of people, even today, men and boys as well, mainly, to embrace our plastic heroes, as I mentioned earlier, is a thirst for justice. I think this may be behind even some of our political stuff going on right now. People are thirsting for justice, aren't they? They want things to be made right. Even if the guy doesn't do it right, they want it righted. That's their idea. They want to see offenders punished and the enemy destroyed. And a real man wants justice. Man is not to have a vengeful spirit. Think about Job. He said they stole all of his cattle, and he had a lot. But there is nothing that ever indicates that Job took vengeance on those men, is it? Not vengeance. A real man doesn't do that. I want to generalize just a little bit for a moment. And you'll realize that there are exceptions to this generalization, especially in the modern society. But usually, there's a difference usually between men and women about some of these issues, right? And this fits into this category. And it hits upon this kind of an idea. Men's desire for justice is usually stronger than their inclination for mercy. And the opposite of is true of women. Why? Well, little Johnny's hurt, and he comes running home bleeding, and who's he run to usually? Mama. Because her inclination for mercy is greater than her concern about the justice. Well, at the same time, if Dad's there, he's thinking how he's going to deal with this bully, you know? And in our society, though, some of those roles have changed. I mean, could you imagine a woman taking a whip and driving the animals and people out of the temple as Jesus did? Well, in today's society, maybe. But we've messed these things up. We don't have too many good examples sometimes of men as they ought to be with their concern for justice. Yes, there has to be mercy, but justice has to be dealt out and dealt with. Then Job had a stable life. It says in verses 19 and 20, my root is spread out to the waters, and the dew lies all night upon my branch. My glory is flesh in me, and my bow is renewed in my hand. The stability of Job's lifestyle stands in vivid contrast to the anxious mobility that we see so often today. We have to put our roots down. We've already talked about that. If we're going to impact our community, we have to be involved. Real men set their roots down. Real men are involved. Real men teach the truth with kindness. You know, occasionally it is God's will that people move, right? Like Abraham. He had a stable life in Babylon, in the Babylonian area. And God said, get up and leave Ur, right? Ur being a city. Get up and leave. Go where I tell you. Well, sometimes God uproots us. But generally speaking, we have to be a stable example, don't we? Or we should be. You know, the great Solomon has nothing on Job. Job had great wisdom. But we have to realize that we too can have it. Doesn't the Bible say, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives liberally and upbraids not, it shall be given him? We have to ask for it. And we can be like Job and Solomon maybe ourselves one day. The beauty in all of this is that all of us, like Job, can have that wisdom if we seek it out. The need for godly wisdom is evident. Though we don't have a wall around this city, and we don't have a gate where the wise men and aged men could go and help people, still, we need wisdom, don't we? People need to make wise decisions in this town about their schools, about many issues. Wisdom is needed. Wisdom gives life. Wisdom gives strength. Wisdom is a good defense because it comes from God. And God knows how to teach us the right thing. Then Job was a pursuer of God. Looking beyond all of his other character traits, Job was first and foremost a pursuer of God in all that he did. And it may sound foreign to many people today in our culture, but partly because for years, in many places, who is it that is, who are the righteous people many times, or who have been? It's often the women, right? And this is emphasized to a child when daddy drops mama and child off to church and then picks them up afterwards. Something wrong with that, isn't it? We've all seen it. Not men not being the example and the leader they ought to be. Job shows us something different. All the character traits that we see in Job were made possible by his relationship to God. And Job sought justice because God taught him to be just. These are and can be masculine expressions. It says he broke the jaws of the wicked, again, a symbolic reference to how he dealt with these people who would do evil. And as we close, remember how God referred to Job, a perfect man, upright, who feared God and turned away from evil. Those are the kind of men we need today, aren't they? And women, by the way. Those are the kind of people we always need. People who will stand up for